That's right. Okay, since everybody got the materials, I'm going to call the meeting to order. So the first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Were there any... Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move adoption of the minutes. Doug?
I second it. So all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye, Josh.
Great. So moving to discussion, is there any feedback on the minutes? The only minor feedback, Mike, just from me, is that the page numbers were wrong, but that's just it.
No.
More grammatical. But that was it. All right, seeing there's no qualitative, contextual, good feedback, in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye.
Aye, Josh.
What's the question?
We're approving the minutes, Doug.
I thought we did that already. I voted aye, I thought.
Well, there was discussion. I gave some feedback.
I see. Okay. I vote aye.
Okay. So the minutes are approved. Moving down to the next line of business is we have almost $16 million worth of
Those were the ones that were approved last meeting.
Sorry. How much do we have this month? We have
4.6.
4.6 million. So all those in favor of approving the minutes?
You want a motion?
Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Loan.
Sorry, guys.
You mean loans?
Yes. Is there a motion to approve the loan?
I'll make a motion we approve the loans.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
But you said 16 million. It's only 4.6 million.
No, I said I retracted my statement, Doug, and said that was from the last meeting. It's 4.6.
Well, my motion was for the current 10 loans at 4.6. Okay.
Great. So any feedback, Rich, as far as maybe what
happened? Yeah, you know, I can highlight a couple of these. The loan in Green Bay is a continuation of a 20-year project that they've had to rejuvenate some neighborhoods in that community. The funds are used to acquire, demolish, sometimes renovate single-family homes. There's a program in there that grants funds for the reconversion of two-family units to single-family homes, beautification of neighborhoods, and so on and so forth. They've spent over $10 million in that 20 years on this program. The only other one I think that really deserves mention is the Village of Windsor, which is borrowing $2 million to redevelop their downtown, which is a pretty big deal for the small community of Windsor. They're acquiring some properties. They're looking at building a new village facility downtown along with some other improvements.
And do you have any feedback, any input, Rich, on the Janesville loan?
Yeah, Janesville is kind of following a trend that we've seen over the last several years with levy limits. Janesville is borrowing money to pay for their fire protection from the city of Janesville. It's an ongoing operating expense, but because of levy limits, they have determined that it is best to borrow money because the repayment of debt service is above and beyond the levy limits. And so a lot of communities for ongoing projects like that have been converting to continual debt in a way to escape the levy limits. Hasn't been a real big issue yet. I think that our loans for operational expenses over the last few years is a very small portion of the loans that we provide.
And then my only other question is about, is with regards to, how do you say it, Onacto?
Oconto?
Oh, thank you. I really butchered that. With what's going on up there and the drought, like the flooding system and everything else, was that, did that impact that loan at all?
Are you talking about number seven?
Number seven, yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Any other questions about the loans? See none. All those in favor of approving the loan, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Sarah. So the loans are approved. There's no old business, so we'll move into new business, which is the discussion and possible vote regarding the amendment to the investment policy. So let's first, I guess, is there a move to actually discuss this item? Is that probably the best way we need to do it, is move into discussion?
Yeah, discussion on that.
Yep.
You can move to...
discuss.
You can move to discuss or just move the resolution itself at this point.
Is there a motion to... what is it? What would it be? To discuss the resolution?
It would be a motion to approve the resolution.
So, is there a motion to approve the resolution?
And discussion.
Yep.
I'll move, although I would like to discuss.
Yep. I second, Josh. So, Tom, do you want to maybe walk us through?
You bet.
Bring in Mark Appley's role.
So, when we drafted the investment policy several years ago, we drafted it in about as conservative a fashion as you possibly could. And at the time, we said that there would be no use of leverage whatsoever. It was just a very blanket statement. And we hadn't thought through some of the particulars of how that would impact the management of the portfolio, because we were going from a fixed income portfolio to a broader one. And so now that we've reached the point where we're looking at making investments in real estate, we realized that all of the funds that we would be considering investing in, all the real estate investment funds, actually use leverage themselves. And so while we're not advocating the use of VCPL borrowing money, we are looking at investing in funds that themselves borrow. And so we're looking at the use of, in essence, indirect leverage, which is a common among investment industry. And so we tried to figure out what's the best way of doing this. And so one of the things we did is we reached out to Mark Epley, who's a professor at the UW and head of the Grasscamp Institute for real estate finance. And Mark actually joined the investment committee and talked about what was the best way of going about it. And Mark pointed out that, in his opinion, it was best to use language that talked about that we would use it in accordance with industry and market standards. Because if you try to pick a particular number, he says, you'll regret it, because the numbers will change as industry standards change. And so that's why this particular language was used. So in order to move VCPL along the path toward portfolio diversification and allow us to invest in these real estate funds, we would need to amend our investment policy to permit the use of leverage. But what we're describing is not, like I said, the use of direct leverage. It's talking about the use of leverage in accordance with industry and market standards. So
questions on the phone?
So I'm comfortable with the concept of doing this. The question I had was relating to the language that's being used in the proposed policy change, because I don't think it spells out that we'd be using this indirectly. And so it would at least leave open, I think, the possibility that VCPL would be directly using leverage. And while I know that's not the intent, I'm wondering if it makes sense to revise the policy so that it's clear that the leverage is, can be used, consistent with industry standards, in, you know, in funds and other, you know, trusts and the like in which BCPL invests.
Josh, I guess my question is, looking at the language currently, is there a direct edit that you would bring to that? I guess when I hear you, to me this covers that, so I'm just curious on what your language would be.
So I wasn't thinking about a specific edit. The current language... covers not only that indirect, but I think would cover direct investment too, I guess, because it just says, that the utilization of leverage is permitted.
Josh, this is Tom. The reason why, the further description of direct leverage was not included there is because of the fact that direct leverage would require BCPL to actually take the step of borrowing money, and something like that I think would require a separate board resolution because of the fact that it's not the investment itself. In essence, if you're going to borrow money to do that, I think that we would need a separate board resolution for that.
But I guess that makes sense. I guess what I'm saying is this language right here is very broad. And so it's not clear to me if this language, my concern is that this language would permit BCPL to engage in the use of leverage. I mean, it does say, there is language that says for permitted investments under this policy. But I guess I just don't, so maybe it's a question of what the policy says, does our policy allow BCPL to, make its own, you know, direct investment? I realize this doesn't, I guess it doesn't seem to me to speak directly to whether it's directly allowing for leverage or just indirectly allowing for it.
Could you restate the question one more time, because I was struggling with the different pieces of it.
Sorry, I'm wondering if we could clarify the language so that it's very clear that any leverage being used would be used not by BCPL directly, but rather by the trusts or funds or whatever else that BCPL is investing in.
Do you want it as a friendly amendment? Or?
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to think through. So this is Sarah chiming in, what that exactly would look like, because during our investment committee conversation, as Tom mentioned, a lot of it was how do we provide clear guidelines to ensure our fiduciary responsibility without putting too much burden in what and how we invest to ensure the best returns. And so I'm just trying to think through, Josh, like what, so in my mind, when we talk about industry and market standards and also consistent with our strategy for BCPL, that's like encompassing everything to provide those guardrails. And so I guess I'm just trying to think through what exactly that language looks like, because I think one of the things that we've learned through our investment policy to date is it allows us to navigate successfully with market ups and downs to ensure strong returns, especially since now that we have a smoothing fund, it's hard to grow our principal because we have to provide a good distribution every year to public schools. And so I'm just kind of thinking through how do we capture this in a way that isn't overly restrictive, especially as we're going into a down market. And I think diversifying into real estate is really critical to providing those distributions, while at the same time meeting that flexibility that's still outlined in the policy for protection.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just need to make it clear that it's not BCPL that's going to be using leverage. It's just that the trusts and funds and other entities that we're investing in. So, you know, I mean, something like, you know, the utilization of leverage is permitted in accordance with industry and market standards. Maybe it's something like BCPL is permitted to invest in, you know, trusts, funds, and other financial instruments in which leverage is utilized in accordance with industry and market standards or something like that.
So how about if we maybe do something like, in addition to this, the BCPL may not use direct leverage without board authorization.
My only concern with that is whether, I mean, is indirect and direct leverage, are those terms of art, or are those just terms that we're using?
So those are terms in which, those are financial terms.
Josh, I don't believe they're terms of art from a legal sense, but they're understood from a financial sense. So.
Do you have a thought on that suggested language? So instead of the first sentence, it says BCPL is permitted to invest in funds, trusts, and other financial instruments that utilize leverage in accordance with industry and market standards.
I mean, I think I'll be honest, Josh, I think we're getting down a rabbit hole with some of this with that language as proposed. So to your point, I think your ultimate concern is direct leverage. And so what it comes down to is the agency could not move forward if there were opportunities to potentially do direct leverage without the board authorization. So that's providing, I think, the guardrails in which you're talking about. Because I'll be honest.
Yeah, I get the issue I have is I don't think the first sentence is very clear as to what it allows or doesn't, and so my hope was to clarify that sentence, I guess.
Because I think your concern is around direct and indirect, so we're clarifying by the term direct leverage.
Yeah, that's right, except I think because that's not a legal term of art, and maybe it's sufficiently well understood that it doesn't matter. But if we just clarify, it's the investments that can use leverage.
Unfortunately, I think if we clarify only investments versus not, that's going to be I think, an incredibly challenging request. And so it's how do you fit within your concern? And I think the concern goes into direct leverage and indirect leverage are financial terms that are well understood in the world. And what your concern is about direct leverage and the ability of borrowing. And so what we are saying is that direct leverage cannot be used unless it's approved by the board.
What's the concern with making clear that it's investments? I mean, that would include trusts and funds and other.
I think you're going to have to name up everything, equities, like special purpose view. I mean, the list could go on about what's included or what's not included. Explicitly within those financial tools. Unfortunately, there's not just like a toolkit of financial tools in which to invest.
And there's no catch-all term that would cover everything?
Direct and indirect.
Josh, this is Jonathan. When we were developing the investment plan initially, we had a long discussion about this subject. And I remember clearly the discussion about Orange County. And what we really wanted to specifically avoid was a future board deciding that some investment was going to be so good that we should borrow some more money to put more money into that investment.
That's better than
by leveraging. And so we understood that direct leverage or direct borrowing is prohibited. And when we did that, I think we overstated the limits that we, in the process. So right now, when we invest in a real estate fund, they may have 20, 25, or 40% leverage in that fund as their cap. And the language about the manager is that the manager of that fund is limited by those terms. And Tom can elaborate on that. So, but we are specifically prohibited from direct leverage or direct borrowing.
So,
if that needs to be restated, that wouldn't hurt anything.
So maybe I think a good thing that, and Tom and I were just chatting offline, is to maybe boil this down into layman terms and just say the BCPL may not borrow money without approval of the board. I mean, leverage is a fancy financial term to talk about borrowing money and using your portfolio asset allocation to give you justification to borrow money. That's like, in essence, what we are saying financially, and so we can just put it out there in very layman terms.
So can I, do we, are you all planning to try to invest in something using leverage in the next, before our next meeting?
So real estate funds, Josh, just in practice, leverage. So they will look at the assets within their portfolio, and they will use that to buy buildings, manage buildings, and so it's totally normal in these very transparent and open-ended funds to have leverage anywhere between 50 to 75% of the fund. And so...
Yeah, sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
So we want to... Our concern was that the statement in this policy excluded us from investing in real estate because that's exactly what these funds have done, is they do use leverage to manage their portfolios. So we're trying to... clarify that statement to ensure that we can start moving forward with our real estate investments.
Right, and I understand that. I guess the reason I asked if we're investing in the next before the next board meeting in a fund that uses leverage is I'm wondering if it. I frankly think it would be worth the time to rather than trying to edit this on the fly to have some proposals for modified language and consider those next week. My concern, again, is not about the use of leverage or not, which I understand and I'm supportive of the concept. I just don't think that this is... So, for example, so you raised concerns about the term investments because you were saying that might not capture everything. But the first sentence here uses that word investments. And so if that word is problematic, then the language may be problematic, I guess is what I'm saying.
And I guess, sorry, Josh, just to clarify, my concern was that your request was to list out all these explicit investments that use leverage, and my concern was you just can't, I mean, that's like asking somebody to use a consulting term like boil the ocean if we would explicitly capture all of the investments. I think investments is a very good broad term, just like I think direct and indirect leverage are very good broad terms, but and borrowing money is just a way to articulate that in layman terms. But that being said, if the board wants to take time to review this and think through it, we can bring it up at our next meeting. I don't want to shove anything down anyone's throats when we want to take the time to deliberate. So if that's what the feelings are, we can do that. That being said, I will say, I think from just a market outlook, we want to make these investments in real estate if we're going to do that sooner rather than later. You may have been following what's going on in the world, whether it's the stock market or the inverted curve with bonds, but we could go on about why this is a good time to do it sooner rather than later. So we can still contribute to both principal and our distribution. But...
Well,
I
think if
sure
there's a reason to move. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I don't want to. I don't. If the commissioners are not ready to vote on this, I don't want to. I don't want to force it. I want to make sure everybody feels good about the policy in which we embrace.
Yeah, and I would say the opposite, though, too. I'm okay moving forward with something if we feel like it's going to affect what we do investment-wise, which I guess is why I was asking about if we might be doing something before the next meeting. I mean, to address your concerns, Sarah, I mean, could we say something along the lines of BCPL may invest in, you know, investments that utilize leverage in accordance with industry and market standards? Basically, I just want to clarify that it's not, and I guess maybe your language, BCPL may not borrow, it gets to the point.
I think to me, saying BCPL may not borrow money without approval or authorization from the board is literally just further solidifying that.
All right, and do the board, does the BCPL staff, so the other question I have for the staff then is, the first sentence refers to permitted investments under this policy. Is there somewhere else around the policy that lays out what the permitted investments are?
Yes.
And those do not include direct borrowing, is that right?
It's a list of investments, you know, like ETF, stocks, bonds, you know, that's right. They do not directly reference leverage. They're just types of investments that are permitted under the investment policy.
And none of them would be a direct borrowing on our part.
Correct.
Okay. And are you okay with Sarah's proposed addition about making clear that it doesn't include borrowing? I guess it's not,
yes.
It's not clear to me what language will be left over in the policy statement from the packet. So I don't know if there's already language that says that prohibits leverage or borrowing, or if.
Well, if you look at the agenda item, the executive summary is the exact language that's included in the investment policy. And then the second box includes the proposed language. And what I think Sarah is proposing is that we add a sentence to the end of that second box to the effect that BCPL may not borrow money without prior board approval or authorization.
What's you said their language is the exact language from the policy. Which part of that is the exact language?
BCPL has prohibited the use of any leverage without board approval.
So the revised sentence would read, the utilization of leverage is permitted in accordance with industry and market standards for permitted investments under this policy. Any use of leverage will be consistent with the strategy for which the BCPL hired the manager and controlled by the specific guidelines for that manager. Further, BCPL may not borrow money without authorization from the board.
Got it. And you'd be striking the sentence that says BCPL is prohibited from using any leverage without board approval.
That box would be gone.
Yeah, that's
correct.
That's the updated. So that's the previous. So the current is the second shaded box below, or is the proposed.
Right. We would be replacing, I believe it's paragraph 6 on that page in the investment policy, with the second box in this proposed amendment, with the addition of that further sentence regarding BCPL.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm comfortable with that, and I think it also makes sense to include in the minutes or something, you know, our intent in doing this, which is to permit the use of indirect, or the indirect use of leverage, but not the direct use of leverage.
Correct. Good discussion.
All right, so I'm going to move that there is a motion to amend the proposed language, which would be, the utilization of leverage is permitted in accordance with industry and market standards for permitted investments under this policy. Any use of leverage will be consistent with the strategy for which the BCPL hired the manager and controlled by the specific guidelines for that manager. Further, BCPL may not borrow money without board authorization. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the proposed amended resolution, say aye.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Sarah. Great. The amended resolution has been approved. Moving down to routine business.
Oh, you only just adopted the
amendment.
Oh. Thanks.
I thought she took that as a friendly amendment.
Right. Yeah, that's what I did. All right, so we're going to move down to routine business. We're going to start, Rich, with you with the Chief Investment Officer's report.
Not a whole lot. You know, I think that really what I was trying to point out in this investment transactions report is that, you know, interest rates have dropped very strongly over the last few months, and that has caused a lot of our bondholders to redeem their bonds. They would go out and refinance those bonds and pay off the bonds that we held as investments. And I've talked several times about this being not a bad time to have a significant amount of cash in our portfolio, but I wanted the board to be aware that of these bond redemptions and the size. You know, over the last 60 days, you know, we've seen a cash inflow of another $170 million in cash from these bond redemptions. Current projections are that by the end of this month, we'll have about $350 million in cash. That's a lot of money. The impact is that we are not earning what we did on these prior bond investments. We're earning what cash is paying, and there's about a percent and a half difference there. And so that reduction in current yield will have an impact on the distribution for next year, but it will not be significant enough that we will have to, in my opinion, at the current time, that we'll have to dip into the smoothing funds. And so I think we're in really good shape. I just wanted the board to be aware of these redemptions and the current amount of cash. We will be attempting to redeploy this this cash into other investments as we see fit. And, excuse me?
Including real estate.
Including real estate. But I just wanted the board to be aware of what's going on. Does anybody have any questions on that?
And what's our total cash total again, Rich?
Well, right now it's about $350 million, which is about one-third of our total portfolio, which is on the high side. But, cash is a good place to be today. I think there's a lot of market turbulence on a daily basis, and I believe that we'll be able to acquire assets at a lower price in the future because we have this cash position.
But this is also, I think, reiterates why we wanted to update the policy, because we can use some of this cash to get into real estate.
Correct.
Yep. Because $350 million is a lot in cash.
It is a lot.
More than what I think we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any questions for Rich?
None for me.
Okay. Moving to Jonathan's report.
Now, I only have one thing I want to update the board on, and that is this Dear Browsing paper that was circulated. I've had a rethinking of how we should handle this, and that stemmed from both Tom and I went up to Minocqua Lake Tomahawk, met with some key leaders, among them Jane Sievert, the head of the County Forestry Association. Then just yesterday we met with Cole Preston and his four top administrators of the agency and discussed this very issue. What I think is, first of all, it's a sensitive issue for a lot of people, and perhaps it would be wise for us to keep the browsing paper in draft form for the time being. And there are new sets of tools that neither Tom nor I are confident we've actually utilized. When I say tools, they're mechanisms developed by DNR and scientists whereby you can quantify the actual deer browsing damage in a parcel of land, and thereby have a better argument beyond the anecdotal arguments, which often people will say, well, that's just an anecdotal argument, we're not going to buy it. So I'm going to suggest that we investigate these tools, keep the paper, investigate these tools, work with our forester who drafted it, John Schwartzman, and at a later date, not too long in the future, I trust, be able to move towards accepting this and making it a non-draft paper. I'm sorry to make it, to slice the bread so thinly, but it just makes sense to not walk into a buzzsaw that we could avoid by being seen as trying to advance an idea before we'd fully vetted all of the tools and all of the evaluations. And I learned quite a bit up north with Tom, and learned more yesterday with Secretary Cole. And I think our paper is absolutely spot on, but I don't think we have the means to fully document our argument as it relates to specific timber parcels. We have the data. We can apply it. It won't take long to do so. And then we can pilot this as we intended. So with that, I would just suggest that the paper be left as a draft document, and we continue gathering data on our forest parcels to support it. That's the end of my report.
So, no, I appreciate that update, Jonathan. I think my
it's
comment...
It's hard to eat crow like that, but it makes sense. When you need to eat crow, you better eat some crow.
So my comment, I think, though, still stands that I emailed the board earlier, which is if we do plan on moving forward, we do need a plan to address and, like, work with the public,
yeah.
Because that is my number one concern, being from Northwest Wisconsin and knowing how sensitive these topics are.
Exactly.
I think if we use tools and have data, that's one thing. But, again, we need to have, once we get through that, to further justify, I think we need a public plan and how we want to communicate that.
I don't disagree, Sarah. I believe, though, that when it comes down to implementing anything, we would be implementing a pilot project on a defined small piece of land, relatively speaking, with the support of the DNR and the private sector. And so it's not as though we're not in a position to advocate this for the entire north of Wisconsin.
Okay.
That's not our role.
Okay. However we roll it out,
all right,
as long as that's in our back of our mind. If it's smaller, that's, I think, even better. But
it will be.
Yep. Any questions for Jonathan? Moving on to the – yeah, Josh.
No, sorry. I was just going to say none for me.
Moving on to the board chair report, I actually don't have anything to report, except that, as you can see from both Rich's report and the report about the updated investment strategy, change into the language for the policy, we continue to work, I think, really diligently as an overall investment committee to make sure we have the best policy in place, and we've been good at, Tom actually brought in, as he mentioned earlier, an expert from the university with real estate, and so we continue to, I think, be very diligent in trying to, A, make sure we have the best investment, and we do it in a way that will ensure strong returns. So I just want to reiterate the work, and again, thank the staff, Rich, Tom, and Jonathan, for their work on this investment stuff, because it's not easy making these policy changes and coming up with the best language. So with that, any future agenda items? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Doug.
I second that. So all those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.